I'm Duarte Geraldino, in for Tanzina Vega, and you are listening to The Takeaway. I got an update for you on a story we've been following, the fight for equal pay in women's soccer. Carlos Cordero resigned this week. He's the president of the U.S. Soccer Federation. Now, he quit amid a backlash over an equal pay lawsuit filed by the U.S. women's team. Here's what happened. The federation's attorneys submitted court filings which stated, and this is a direct quote, that it is undisputed that the job of men's national player requires materially more strength and speed than the job of women's national team player, end quote. Now, it also added that the job of men's players, quote, carries more responsibility than the job of women's players. So many people were shocked and angry about what was written in these official court documents.
Well, as I kept reading, and I'm reading more, I'm getting more disgusted and more agitated and more infuriated.
Retired two-time FIFA Women's World Cup champion and Olympic gold medalist Julie Foudy was disgusted by the document's language. And as you'd expect, soccer superstar and multi-World Cup winner Megan Rapinoe didn't hold back.
I just want to say it's all false to every girl out there, to every boy out there who watches this team, who wants to be on this team or just wants to live their dream out. You are not lesser just because you are a girl. You are not better just because you're a boy. We are all created equal and should all have the equal opportunity to go out and pursue our dreams.
Kelsey Trainer and Isabel Angel are here to break down what this could mean for the future of U.S. soccer. Kelsey is an attorney and sports writer for Mediaite.com, and Isabel is a senior producer for the podcast Into America from NBC News. She's also a longtime observer and reporter on all things soccer and a former producer here on The Takeaway.
A few years ago, the U.S. women's national soccer team players filed a lawsuit against the U.S. soccer, which is the governing body here in the United States for the sport, saying that they were not getting equal pay for equal work under the law. They alleged that the U.S. soccer pays the men more than the women's team, which they say is unfair and illegal.
So, Kelsey, why did Carlos Cordero resign? Make that link for us.
He resigned because while U.S. soccer, you know, the lawsuit, they filed it last year on International Women's Day, and it's been going on for some time. But what happened was U.S. soccer and the players filed motions for summary judgment. And in those motions, both sides made legal arguments. And one of the legal arguments that U.S. soccer made was essentially that women do not perform equal work on jobs requiring equal effort, responsibility, and skill. They essentially said that things that women are born with are inherently inferior to men, and therefore they should be paid less. So this kind of all came to a head. It's been out there. They've been asking these questions at depositions about, well, you know, wouldn't you lose against a men's team and this and that? And it really came to head in their responses to the motions for summary judgment that came out on March 9th, the day after the She Believes Cup that they played in Harrison, New Jersey. And from that came huge public pressure from sponsors, right? So you had Coke and Deloitte and Volkswagen coming out and saying, this is absolutely disgusting. It's unacceptable and offensive. And so they tried to do some PR spin. They tried to issue an apology right during the She Believes Cup in Houston, and it just did not go well. And so from that, the public pressure, Carlos issued a letter resigning and even said in it, he's like, I did not have the opportunity to even fully review these filings.
So do you think that his resignation could change the women's soccer team's lawsuit in any substantial way?
I do, actually. If you had asked me 2 weeks ago what would happen with this lawsuit, I would have said it's a gray area and there's some legal arguments on both sides. But after these filings, I think that they have totally lost in the court of public opinion. I think the judge in the case has already been on the record calling some of U.S. soccer's arguments absurd, anything having to do with essentially arguing that women are inferior to men inherently. And, you know, you do have a new former player, Cindy Parlow-Cohn, is now the president. She was the former vice president of U.S. soccer. And I do think that the players now have extreme bargaining power in this settlement negotiations.
So, Isabel, I know that you've been to all these games and you've been there with fans cheering equal pay, equal pay, equal pay. Do you think that Cordero's resignation could be a step in the right direction?
I don't know if I would say it'd be a step in the right direction, but I think the players certainly would say this could be a step in the right direction. I think they're pretty quick to say also that, you know, his resignation doesn't erase the hurt and damage that they feel has been done to them. But I think that from what I've seen of fans' reactions and players' reactions, people are saying that this is a positive for them.
U.S. Soccer's arguments are still on the record. So on Monday, March 16th, there was reply briefs filed. And, you know, the U.S. Soccer did not hit home on any of these arguments. They actually issued a statement saying, you know, we don't believe any of those things. But at the end of the day, they're still on the record. And the players have argued essentially that everything that they were saying in those is proof, literally, of gender discrimination.
Kelsey, Cordero issued another letter before he resigned stating that he offered the team equal pay and they turned it down. Is that true?
So that's what he says. Molly Levinson, the spokesperson for the players, came out and said it's absolutely not true. One, in even releasing that letter, they broke confidentiality issues that had to do with the negotiations going back and forth. And she said that the numbers that they offered us and any offer that they brought to the table was based on the collective bargaining agreement from 2011 for the men. So right now, the men's national team players are in their own collective bargaining process for a new agreement. The players essentially said, okay, you might have offered us equal pay to the men based off of 2011 financials.
So Isabel, if you could take us back for a little bit. Yeah, I know the women's team led a protest during the She Believes Cup. Can you paint that picture for us?
Yeah, so last week before they played their last game of the She Believes Cup, the players came out ready to warm up wearing their warm-up jerseys turned inside out, which basically meant that the crest of U.S. Soccer, which is on the front of their jersey, was blank. And you could still make out the four stars that represent each of their World Cup wins. So it was this really powerful statement of saying, you know, they don't feel supported by the federation. They didn't want to represent the federation in that moment, but they were still showing that they're the best national women's team in the world. And they all together, the whole team took a picture before the game, which, you know, is part of the pregame process, but they were all completely unsmiling, just staring at the camera. And I think that really grabbed fans' attention and grabbed attention really all around the country.
So the U.S. Soccer Federation now has a new president who is a woman, Cindy Parlow-Cones. Could this be a new and brighter era for the federation?
I personally think so. I think that, you know, their latest legal filing, like I said, as of Monday night, the 16th, they started their new filing saying that we're deeply supportive of the women's national team on and off the field. They are the best national team in the world. And so their success, I think, is unparalleled by anybody else. And I think there are people, you know, you have incredibly successful women's national teams, former players that are starting to get involved. And I think that those people are going to start joining the ranks of U.S. soccer, and that's what's going to change. Still, overall, you know, Meg Rapinoe also talked about after the She Believes Cup game, she said, listen, we've had these feelings of this discriminatory nature that people thought this way, but to see it written down is just so defeating. And so I think that whether or not they win or lose in court, they've already lost in the court of public opinion, and they've got a lot of making up to do.
Kelsey Traynor is an attorney and sports writer for Mediaite, and Isabel Angel is a senior producer for Into America. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.